The old, old story. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And a leper came to him, speaking of Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and he said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word in print and Holy Scripture. We thank you for your word in flesh in Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to us now from your written word, of your living word. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Our Christian faith took root in far, far simpler times, long before cable news and social media. Those earliest preachers on the hillsides there in Palestine probably stood on a rock and people gathered close around. Because see, in those days, they didn't have any sound amplification systems. They got in close so they could hear what was going on. And if they missed it, they missed it. Because see, back in those days, you didn't have the opportunity for online streaming. There was no chance for you to lay back and figure, "I can just stay in my pajamas and drink some coffee and watch this at my leisure." That wasn't there, see. You heard it or you missed it. But the thing is, if you didn't hear it, you didn't necessarily miss it. Because you see, the Christian story has always relied on the premise that somebody who heard it would tell it. And then that person would tell somebody else. And then that person would tell somebody else. It was about word of mouth, one person to the next person. Because see, unlike Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most of those folks back in those days, they couldn't write the word down. Most could not read the word. They heard the word. And they shared the word. And more as they heard it and as they shared it, they referred to it as good news. Now, with that in mind, let's look at my text for this morning from the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. Those of you who are familiar with Mark's Gospel, you know that Mark doesn't start his Gospel the way Matthew and Luke do. He doesn't talk about the birth narratives. He doesn't talk about Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and the manger and the shepherds and all. He doesn't talk about that. Mark starts his Gospel when Jesus is 30 years old. And is being baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And then he moves directly with Jesus into the wilderness, the temptation by Satan, the 40 days out there by himself, alone with the Spirit and alone with Satan. And then by verse 14, just that quickly, Mark has Jesus already beginning his ministry in Galilee. By that time, he's already introduced the concept of the kingdom of God. Then Jesus calls his first disciples, calls them to leave their family fishing business to come in and become fishers of men. He then casts out an unclean spirit from a man who's in a synagogue in Capernaum. He heals Peter's mother-in-law of her fever. He cures many who are sick and demon-possessed. And he launches a preaching campaign that's destined for the towns and synagogues throughout the whole region of Galilee. But as Mark concludes the first chapter of his gospel, he seems to momentarily pause this rapid escalation of Jesus' ministry to record a singular encounter that Jesus had with a leper. As Mark puts it, Jesus was on his way to preach when a leper came to him. In other words, Jesus had his day all laid out. He had his agenda in place, knew what he was going to be working on, when a leper interrupted that agenda. Perhaps you've had that happen to you as well. When I leave each day, when I leave my office, I've got my yellow pad there, and here's my agenda for the next day right there. Boom, 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 boom. And when I come in the next morning, I don't have to wonder where I'm going to start. It's right there for me. And there are so many items on there, I know that unless I stay focused and I persevere, I'm never going to get to the end of that list before I leave the office at the end of the day. Just no time to tarry. Got to be focused. Well, see, Jesus had his agenda for the day. But as often happens with us, it happened with Jesus. Something happened to disrupt his best laid plans. Now, when that happens with us, oftentimes we refuse to be interrupted. We're so focused, we're so honed in that we think this is our main business. We got to do this. And we reject the interruptions. But see, Jesus looks at things differently. He has his business for the day. But when the leper comes, he acknowledges the fact that that leper is his business. Now, it's important that you visualize the scene. Look at it in your mind's eye. Jesus suddenly finds himself face to face with a man whose whole life can be summed up in one word, and that word is leprosy. His whole body is covered with grotesque lesions. Stumps and gaping holes are there where toes and fingers used to be. Because you see, his extremities are literally rotting away and they're falling off. Wherever the leper went, he was obliged to call out to warn other people that he was in the area so that they would stay away from him. See, no one would go near a leper. No one would talk to a leper. No one would walk where a leper walked or sit where a leper had sat. You see, in those days, there was no communication or interaction with a leper. And thus, a leper's life was at the same time hopeless and helpless. But Mark tells us that this leper defied society's restrictions by coming right straight up to Jesus, kneeling before him and begging him. Mark says, and the leper came to Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now note, the leper didn't come to Jesus standing up. He came to him kneeling with his body bowed. Friends, it may not seem so now, but in your life and mine, sooner or later, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen for which you are totally unprepared. Some circumstance is going to befall you with which you're not prepared to cope. Maybe it's a person who comes into your life and just won't go away. Or maybe it's some terminal illness that takes up residence in your body. And when those things happen, that's when you learn how to pray. That's when you learn how to call on the name of. When something happens to you that's out of the blue, that you're unprepared for, you don't know which way to turn. When that happens, you know what it'll do? It will drive you to your knees and it'll call you to turn to the Lord. Now note too that the leper didn't have to explain to Jesus how he came to have this dreaded disease. Neither did he have to describe his condition. He came to Jesus just as he was. He knelt and he offered a prayer. Now, that wasn't a long prayer, but it was a prayer. If you will, you can make me clean. I think in his heart of hearts, the leper was probably saying something to himself like, Jesus, I've heard about all these miraculous things you're doing. And nobody else can see me. Nobody else wants to see me. Everybody else has shoved me off to the side. And I believe that you've got the power to heal me. if you will. Please, will you heal me? Please, will you care enough about me to bring me back into the mainstream of life? Please, be willing to lift me up when others are putting me down. Mark records Jesus' response. He says, moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and he said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Now, let's consider the revised scene. See? There stands the leper. His body has been healed. It's been restored. All of his toes and fingers are back in place. All the terrible lesions are gone. He's been cleansed. He's been made whole. And now he can go home and see his family. Now he can see his friends. Now he can walk down the street without people pointing at him or going to the other side and dodging him. No longer will he have to hear the whispers of folks talking behind his back about him. The thing that he had been praying for had finally come to pass. Imagine the relief he's feeling. Imagine his joy and his excitement. And now put yourself in his shoes. What would be your first response? Well, I believe the fellow started jumping up and down and hooting and hollering. I believe he turned to Jesus and grabbed a hold of Jesus and gave Jesus a hug like he'd never had before and probably started kissing him all over. And then after that initial reaction, I think the leper turned and was fixing to start running through town, shouting to the top of his voice, you know, look, my leprosy is gone. It's a miracle. But before he can get away, Jesus puts a stop to his celebration. Look at the text. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. Now, in essence, Jesus is saying, hey, I know you're excited, but there's a condition attached to your healing. Under no circumstances are you to tell anybody what has happened here. Now, it seems to me that is a mighty strange request to be coming from Jesus. But yet it's a request that's repeated repeatedly in the Gospels. One day Jesus was walking and talking with his disciples along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, up near Caesarea Philippi, when Peter exclaimed, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. But Jesus charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. And on another occasion, a man named Jairus came to Jesus because his little 12-year-old daughter was at home and she was sick and he was afraid she was going to die. Wanted Jesus to come and heal him. And so Jesus goes with the man, they start to the house, and on the way a messenger comes and says, it's too late, your daughter's already dead. But Jesus goes on to the home. And when he gets there, takes the child's hand and restores her life. Luke tells us her parents were amazed. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. And then again, in the region of the Decapolis, on the northern end of the Sea of Galilee, a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to Jesus. Jesus put his fingers in his ears, and then he touched his tongue. And Jesus said, be open. And immediately the man could hear. Immediately the man could speak clearly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. Now, these are three of the many examples that I could have cited to make the point that Jesus seems to contradict the need that's there for those who have heard the good news to share the good news. So the question is, why did Jesus demand that the leper tell no one about his healing? Why? Let me suggest an answer. I believe that Jesus' interest in the leper was more than skin deep. I believe that Jesus saw immediately that what needed to be cleansed was not the leprosy on the man's skin, but the man who was being camouflaged by the leprosy. I say that because I believe that when Jesus looks at you and me, he is much more concerned about what's going on the inside of us than he is about what's going on the outside of us. See, everybody can see leprous skin. Everybody can see that because that's on the outside. But it's hard to see a leprous heart. It's hard to see a heart that's covered with lesions. Hard to see a heart that's infected with disease, because that's on the inside. When people saw the leper's clean skin, he and Jesus would have become instant celebrities. Everybody in town would have known the leper's story. Everybody in town would have been in awe of the miracle that Jesus had performed. But what the leper needed was not a reputation for having been cleaned. What he needed was a relationship with the cleaner. I wonder, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Friends, my relationship with Jesus comforts me in the midnight hours. It sustains me when other folks let me down. It gives me peace in the midst of my storms. It's the light that keeps me from stumbling around in the dark. Give me peace. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, give me Jesus. You can have the whole world, but give me Jesus. Because you see, I do not need a glorified reputation. I need a saving relationship with Jesus. And so do you. Returning to the text, we discover that not only did Jesus tell the leper what not to do, he told him two things that he was supposed to do. See, he'd say nothing to anyone. Don't say it. That's the first thing he's not supposed to do. Then two things to do. Go and show yourself to the priest. That's the first one. And then I like this part. And then offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, if you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus, if there's nothing Jesus has ever done for you, then there's really no need for you to pay attention to the rest of what I'm fixing to say. But if you've ever had an encounter with Jesus that made a radical difference in your life, then you ought to do the same two things that Jesus expected of that man who had formerly been a leper. First, Jesus says, show yourself to the priest. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just show yourself. Now, here's the principle. If the Lord has cleaned you up, you don't need to say anything. Just show up. See? Everybody in town knows you're a cripple. So when you throw away your crutches, you don't have to say anything. Just show up. When you've been on every prayer list in town because you've been diagnosed with cancer, and the surgeon operates on you and finds nothing, you don't have to say anything. Just show up. If the Lord has healed you, all you got to do is show up at church. You don't need to preach a sermon. You don't need to give your testimony, because the change in you will be obvious. All you got to do is show up. Second, Jesus says, offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, friends, this text is telling you and telling me that there's a relationship between the nature of your offering and the authenticity of your healing. In other words, if the Lord has blessed you, you should be happy. You should be rejoicing. You should be thankful. So much so that you bring an offering in thanksgiving for your blessing. Remember what Mary and Joseph did after Jesus was born? They went to the temple in Jerusalem. And why did they go there? To make an offering. And why did they want to make an offering? Because they wanted to thank God for the gift of a son. In the same kind of way, Jesus telling that leper to go to the temple to offer in thanksgiving for what God has done for him. Now hear me, please. If the Lord has healed your body, if the Lord has made a way for you when you could not make a way for yourself, if the Lord has opened the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing on you, then you shouldn't mind thanking him with your offering. Let me get personal with you a minute. God has blessed me. If the Lord has blessed you, join me in raising your hand. Now, keep your hands up and look around. Look at all the hands. Look at all the people who have been blessed by God. And they know they've been blessed, see? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? Those of you who raise your hand, you know the Lord has been mighty, mighty good to you. And he has. But that's not the end of the story. After Jesus made it perfectly clear what the leper was supposed to do and what he was not supposed to do, after he reached an agreement with the leper that he was not supposed to be telling anybody, Mark says, but the leper went out and began to talk freely about it. He went out and began to spread the news. In other words, as soon as the fellow got out of Jesus' sight, he started telling everybody what Jesus had done. Now, I don't know how you read that, but I need to tell you that I can relate to the leper. I can. Because when the Lord has done something for me, sooner or later, I'm going to tell somebody about it. I just can't help myself. You've raised your hands. The Lord's done something good for you. Who have you told about it? Who have you shared the good news with? As I was writing the sermon, my mind drifted away. I started thinking about the leper going to heaven and what it must have been like when the leper and Jesus met for the first time face to face. I wonder what that conversation would be like. I can almost hear Jesus now. Mr. Leper, didn't I tell you not to tell anybody what I had done for you? Well, yes, sir, you did. Now then, Mr. Leper, why did you do exactly what I told you not to do? Well, sir, I did say I wasn't going to tell anybody, but I just couldn't keep the good news to myself. You see, when I looked at my hands and my feet and I looked at my body and the lesions were gone and my toes and my fingers were all there, my body looked like it was brand new. And then I thought back and I remembered where the Lord had brought me from. And when I thought about where I had been, the tears just started rolling down my face. I remembered that I used to be outcast from society. Nobody would have anything to do with me. I was all alone. But now I could be with my family and friends. I remember how lost I felt. Drifting. Didn't know what the next day, the next moment was going to be, much less the next year. I was as lost as I could be. But now I'm found. People looked at me and they thought I was dirty. I looked at me and I thought I was dirty. But now I'm clean. I was sick, but now I'm well. I was helpless and hopeless, but no more. Oh, sir, I didn't say I wasn't going to tell anybody. But when I thought about how good the Lord had been to me, I was so thankful, I just couldn't help myself. What about you? You ever thought about where you were before Jesus and where you are now? Ever thought about how far the Lord has brought you? Ever thought about where you used to be and the difference in where you are now, and realized the difference was made possible by the Lord? Ever thought about those things? Has it warmed your heart? Has it made you so excited? Has it made you so thankful that you had to share it with somebody else? Or have you just swallowed it up and privately patted yourself on the back? Listen, friends, we live in a dark world and a lost world, and part of the reason is many folks have been touched by the Lord have said nothing about it. You wonder why the world's in the state it's in? Look in the mirror and you'll see the answer. Nobody is clean. All of us are guilty. The good news is to be shared. We're to be doing the sharing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we got so much to be thankful for, so much. But the thing is, we got so much to be thankful for, and we've been having so much for so long that we just take all of it for granted. We think that the aches and pains we used to have are, but don't anymore, just due to our doctors, or maybe the pills that we're taking or something like that. And when we get an ache of pain now, we start cussing and fussing. But what we don't do is start turning to you. You bless us, you just dump the blessings on us, and we just don't say thank you. Lord, forgive our indifference. Convict us in the power of your Spirit so that we might rejoice in your goodness to the point that we will begin to share the old, old story of Jesus and his love. In your name we do pray it, Lord. Amen. And amen.